Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, this is the week full of saints. Today, we celebrate the feast of Saint Paul of the Cross. Paul was a native of Ovada in Genoa, Italy, and he spent a brief time in the military but left to devote himself to prayer. You know, God calls us. God calls us. It's a small, still voice, but he calls us. Give me more time. Spend more time with me. Walk with me. Work with me. He speaks to our hearts. Do we listen? Well, Paul, when his uncle, a priest, left him a significant inheritance on the condition that he would marry, Paul forfeited the inheritance, taking only his uncle's breviary, his prayer book. That's all he took from his uncle. At the age of 26, while still a layman, he conceived the rule of a new order, the Passionists. These are the Passionist fathers that we have today. This is in the 1700s. He felt called to prayer. He obeyed. He did what God asked him. And even as a layman, he conceived this idea of an order of priests. The Passionists take a fourth vow to proclaim the Passion of Christ. Paul wrote, "Bury yourselves in the heart of Jesus crucified, desiring nothing else but to lead all men to follow his will in all things." You don't have to be a Passionist father to have that for your goal. Bury yourself in the heart of Jesus crucified, desiring nothing else but to lead all men to follow his will in all things. What a way of life. What a goal. We can apply that, whether we're single, whether we're married, whether we're celibate. There's a call to all of us as Christians to bury ourselves in the heart of Jesus. And desiring, he says here, nothing else, which would have been for his order. We can say, desiring above all things to lead all men to follow his will. May the priest Saint Paul, whose only love was the cross, obtain for us your grace, O Lord, so that, urged on more strongly by his example, we may each embrace our own cross with courage. We all carry crosses, brothers and sisters. We can identify with Christ as we carry those crosses. We can draw near to him. We can find strength and hope in him as he embraced his cross and we embrace ours. The first reading for today is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Brothers and sisters, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Look at the beauty of this prayer, that he may grant you in accord with the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the holy ones what is the breadth and the length, the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to accomplish far more than all we ask or imagine, by the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. What a beautiful prayer. And it's real, brothers and sisters. It's not just sentimental, pious thoughts. It's real. The Holy Spirit within you by baptism and confirmation, nurtured in you by the Eucharist. The Holy Spirit wants to use you for the Father's glory. Whatever our state in life, whatever our strengths, whatever our weaknesses, he wants to use you. But he never uses us unless we consent. He does not violate our free will. So Paul prays, may he grant you, in accord with the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner self, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you, rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the holy ones what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of Christ's love. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's not just pious language, brothers and sisters. That's a reality to pray for. And then he even says, now to him who is able to accomplish far more than we ask or imagine, God's desires for us are even greater than what I'm saying here. By the power at work within us, that's the Holy Spirit, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Psalm 33, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And it's true. But what does sin do in us? I've said this many times. But the catechism tells us sin darkens the intellect and weakens the will. It darkens us so we can't see or hear so clearly God's call on our lives. The inspirations that God wants to give us, the directions he wants to point us toward, our own desires and our own selfishness, our own lust, our own anger, our own bitterness, all of that can block the voice of God and we don't hear him. We're not perfect, but what we can say to the Lord is, Lord, I don't want these things to rule my life any longer. I want you, Lord, to be the Lord of my life. A simple prayer like that, meaning it, teach me, show me. And then, as I've so often told you, take one area of your life now, with just one area, bring it before the Lord, work on a plan so that you really can, by his grace and power, don't just look to yourself, by his grace and power, you can overcome that temptation. You really can, and he will give you power, but go to him. Say, Lord, I know I've got a whole lot of things in my life that aren't pleasing to you. Where do you want me to start? I want to give them all over to you. The burden's too heavy, and it's leading me to be blind and deaf to your voice. Teach me. He will. You be faithful in prayer, and he will lead you. I guarantee it. The Gospel, Luke chapter 12, verses 49 to 53. Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. In other words, Jesus is saying, I've come to do the Father's will. It's consuming me, and I want it to consume me. Do you think that I've come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, rather division. Because God's peace isn't just a temporal peace, just kind of a soothing of ruffled feathers or whatever that may be. God wants to bring himself right into that situation of difficulty, and that he is our peace. It's when we yield to him, when we ask him to lead us, when we follow what he asks of us in difficult situations, then peace, then he will enter with his peace. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son and a son against his father, a mother against her daughter and a daughter against her mother, a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. In other words, in all our relationships, there can be bitterness and anger and rivalry and jealousy, hatred. It can be all those things. But Jesus says, right in the midst of that, I have come. I have come to set the earth on fire with his love. And that love burns out all our evil desires and our sins if we allow it. So how do we do that? We come to the Lord in our own prayer time. We acknowledge our sin. We say, Lord, I don't want to live out of this. I don't want any longer to be motivated by my own selfish desires. I don't want it anymore, but I don't know how to change. I don't know how to make it different. Will you help me? And then perhaps you make a decision to say, Lord, I'm going to do everything in my power and I need your power. Every time I want to be angry, every time I'm whatever it is that motivates me to anger and to disruption and causes division, I'm going to stop and say, Lord, help me. Help me. Tell me what to do here. In other words, I'm not going to at least immediately give in to the desires of the flesh. I'm going to stop and I'm going to say, Lord, what do you want to do here? And the Lord will lead us. And he will teach us. We'll stumble, we'll fall, we'll make mistakes, but more and more we will experience that we are not alone, that the peace of Jesus Christ is with us, and that we can become a peacemaker. Even if we were the cause of the division, we can become a peacemaker. But it takes our being yielded to God. I will do it your way. I will do it in your timing. I will depend on you, not on myself. I've seen people, brothers and sisters, who were causes of great division in their families. I've seen them brought to their knees because everything around them has fallen apart. And they're not on their knees because they want to adore. They're on their knees because they're helpless. And I've seen those very same people give their lives over to God and say, Lord, I'm nothing but a sinner. I've made a mess out of my life. I want to give it back to you and ask that you, only you, can in a sense recreate me. Only you. And I turn and give my life back to you. And I ask you to teach me. I will give you time every day, I promise. I will read the scripture every day, I promise. I will decide to go to Mass every Sunday, if that's where I need to be. Or I will go twice a week, if that's where I can be. I will do something that costs me a bit of time. But I will do it to show you my seriousness. That, Lord, make me into your image and likeness for your glory and for my salvation. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you can receive my free booklet by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. You can also request it by going to our website, renewalministries.net. Renewalministries.net. From there, select radio, then select food for the journey, and you'll find a great deal of information available to you. God bless you.